Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change. That's right. You're not going to find in the Bible any verse that condemns gay people. We're living in an exciting time. Something very new is about to happen. The beginning of the gay Pentecostal movement is right now beginning to start. In 1967, we had the movement of the gay Catholic groups. It was called Dignity. It spread across the world. The following year, in 1968, we had the Protestant gay movement, started in metropolitan community churches. It spread around the world. In 1969, we had the secular movement begin at a place called Stonewall, and it was where politically gay rights through courts, the legal process, and so forth, and it spread across the world. When I started preaching here on TV in March of 1986, It was what I had determined of the viewers that I listened to and the people I knew and the barometer that I was using. It seemed pretty much like it was 75% of the people who were pretty much steadfast against gays. And 25% was relatively positive towards gays from strong to kind of a vague way, depending on the issues. When I accepted Jesus back in 1974, it was almost like 100% of the the world practically was against gays. You could not go find positive sources. About the only thing that you can find that was anywhat positive was if you were in the know, you could probably find gay bars someplace. But you wouldn't find any churches, you wouldn't find any organizations. It would be really, really hard to find anything really positive except into the pretty staunchly gay communities and so forth and so on. You had gay papers, gay flyers, and so forth like that, which were somewhat positive. And they were showing some of the advances of the secular gays and working for gay rights and stuff around the world. And, of course, Dignity and Metropolitan Community Church were beginning to spread pretty good by 1974. But trying to find any other kind of positive thing in the barometer of straight Christians, for instance, it was more like the tune of 100% of you just thought gay was sin and gays were going to hell and all that kind of stuff. But then, like I said, in 1985, when I began founded the Stables Ministries, and then in 1986 when I started preaching Gays for Jesus here weekly on TV, it was more like 75-25. Now, today, it is about 50-50. So this long process that started in 1967 has brought the world and the United, but especially the United States, to a 50-50 position. Now, this is pretty amazing, but it has taken from 1967 to get to here. Now, various issues in concerning gays will change that figure a little bit. Like we know, the gay marriage thing is that it's like 60-40 or something like that. Not too bad. It's actually not too bad. But other types of issues, you know, even as much as gay unions and stuff like that, or civil unions or something, what they're calling them, that's even getting closer to 50-50 as it is. So there is a real good thing when you look at the barometer of everything. If you just go to somebody like one of you and say, what do you think? And you'll say, it's just 100% terrible. That has nothing. You know, there's only 1% gays in the world. somehow, whoever you that believe that, think that's true. It's really amazing that anybody can think that's true. And you look at somebody that's been preaching gay Christians for 31 years, and you're going to tell them that it's true, there's only 1% gays? And somebody that's been in the gay community for, what was it, 1969, I guess, is 1968, first time ever, went into anything related to gays. Do you think that you can say 1% or 2% or 3%? No, it's consistent. It's 10%. You're not going to get away with that. There's just too many organizations. There's too many groups. And you know, hold on a second. I got kind of interrupted there for a second there. So there's a lot of things going on in the world that you're not watching for, and that we are seeing that there is now going to be something done about that. You're going to find out that, yes, 10% is really a stable figure, because you're going to see a lot of activity by a different group of gay people. Like I said, the Protestant and Catholic gays and secular gays had their time. They did what they were due. God had promised in the Bible that He would restore them. He would give pastors to them and rise them up. And that's what exactly God did. Almost every large city in the world almost will have a gay church. And when I'm saying gay church, I'm not saying some sort of religious occult or some who knows what. I'm saying Christian, Bible-believing, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit type of deal, you know. Born again in all the different phases of Christianity that you know Christians to be. You got Mormon gays, you got Seventh-day Adventist gays, you got Assembly of God gays, you got Baptist gays, just across the board. You got these kind of what we call cult Christian and so forth. Just like straights, just like the regular mainstream churches and Christians, that you also have these kind of groups now in the gay community. But what you don't really have, there are some, but is the Pentecostal gays. And the Pentecostal gays, see, those of us that are Pentecostal, whether you take gay or straight in or out of it, generally speaking, you know, like the Assembly of God is the largest Pentecostal church in the world. Then you have Foursquare, and you have a lot of independent churches, you know, because independent churches are these kind of churches that just don't like what they're seeing. And so they break away from their mainline denomination. And pretty much all the denominations have this kind of phenomena happening. People get relatively dissatisfied, or they get in a kind of calling to go off on their own, and some of the message they have may not quite go with what their denominational background does, and or would be supported by headquarters. And in these days, rightly so, independent churches should be breaking away from mainline churches, but for a different reason, because the mainline denominations are already joining in with this something called unification church, where that means all religions, doesn't matter if you're Buddhist or if you're Christian, you bow down before your gods together, praying your gods to have blessings come on earth. Pray for peace. Pray for healings in the land. And do projects together. Give food together and so forth. You know, Jesus working next to Baal or something. Or, you know, Satan and Jesus are hand in hand going out to do good in the world. Doesn't work that way. But this is what the denominations are doing now up there, upper levels. Some of it's creeped down really strongly into the lower levels. But up in the upper levels, there's being changes made. And there's a lot more detail in that. But nevertheless, the Pentecostal straight people, or denominations like Foursquare and Assembly of God, had done some significant things. We have 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, networked international television. You can streamline online, or you can watch it in just about any country. It doesn't matter what country. They're in just about every country now. And now I notice here in Seattle, we got this other one called Daystar. And when you turn it on, you get a lot of these Pentecostal types of people on there. Plus, the tag-alongs are the non-Pentecostals. Whether you like it or not, Pentecostals have brought into the worldview Christianity more than any other denominations. But like, in a similar way in the gay community, in the gay Christian community, a similar thing has happened. The non-Pentecostal Christians of the world laid lots of groundwork down. They did the hard work, as it were, and then Pentecostals came in. They got caught on fire, and God had already laid lots of groundwork down. And so now Pentecostals go out and reap what all the, as it were, non-Pentecostals sown. If you're non-Pentecostal, ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Don't need to get into why. Just ask Him to do it. Just ask Him to do it. It won't make you saved. It won't guarantee you're going to heaven. But I tell you, you'd be glad you did. You want to be close to Jesus. You're not going to get closer by staying unbaptized in the Holy Spirit. And you don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit from man. Now, man might pray, Jesus, baptize this person in the Holy Spirit. But man is not doing the baptize. It is Jesus that baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes man can do that. Well, likewise, in the gay community, the Christian non-Pentecostals laid the groundwork. Because, you know, if you're not, if Pentecostals, you get in trouble. Because you get on fire for the Lord, and you go out and do some radical types of things, even if you make mistakes. And people don't like that. They want no waves. You got to kind of bend with the flow. You got to kind of, you know, let's step in and let's do what we don't. You know, that's one thing that bothered me a little bit about Metropolitan Community Church, because the founder, Troy, is Foursquare, Pentecostal. And yet, you go to Metropolitan Community Church these days, if you're Pentecostal, you sit in the pew and you're just kind of holding your hands down because you want to raise your hand and maybe sing in the Spirit and so forth and so on. But you can't do that. Or you can't get actively involved in anything, because whatever involvement that you get, you got to water it down. You got to hold it back. You got to go on reserve. I mean, you got this faith to believe and go out. And hey, I know that Christians worldwide are going to say they believe stronger than anything, and they got faith and so forth. And it's like, if you say anything different about it, they think they're being offended or something. I don't care. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got something else. You got something else. You got something else, people, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it makes you do things. It might be crazy. And so that's not really too good in the normal mainstream. You know, the Christian gay non-Pentecostals were having to fit in a lot. And another thing that had to be gone with the Metropolitan Community Church, why they kind of watered down the Pentecostal part about it, is that this is the only Christian church around, as it were. And so every kind of denomination would come into Metropolitan Community Church. So it's kind of more like a non-denominational church. And then they had to develop, because they had some outreaching kind of groups in the gay community that believed and loved Jesus, but they loved him a little differently, you know. You got to change the pronouns a little bit more distinctive so that it wouldn't represent just male, 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 all the time in every single word and every single phrase and every single subject. And so you have a lot of different things that change. And then, you know, sorry, that might work good and lays the groundwork down, the foundations down to develop churches worldwide in abundance. You don't make too many waves. In the beginning, he made a lot of waves, got a lot of his churches burnt down, this Troy Perry. Well, Pentecostals are a little bit different, because when they get going, they're not interested in being stuck with things, as it were. They God's calling them to do something. I mean, they got fire, and it's really difficult to explain, unless you are a Pentecostal, then you understand right away. But if you're not a Pentecostal, you can't quite grasp what it is, this extra thing. You know what? You know. You're running on gasoline and everything, and what is it that they could put into the your gas, and suddenly. Alcohol or something, and whoosh, you just got so much more power out of your car. You put a little turbo on your car, or if Mercedes or something, you call a compressor. You know, you have this turbocharged type of thing. Well, you're putting that kind of stuff on there, and it's not that you got all kinds of power, as it was, because it all boils down to not by might, not by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. These are incorporated. It's just like you say, I want to be a leader. Jesus says, well, a leader is not like man's leader. A leader is like a servant. You know, look at me. I'm washing your feet. So I come to serve you, and here I am, the Son of God. So this power, this turbocharge, gives you this something or other that makes you able to go out and do the job. And you can get lay on hands. People will be healed. And I completely believe in this. I had three different times in my life where I had some pretty major wrong with me physically, and I had to stand up to God and say, God, in Jesus' name, heal me. And very dramatically and very instantly, I'm not going to talk about now, I was healed. And there's many other instances of this along my 31 years in Christ Jesus. Healing, physical healing, become a reality. One of the problems that we have as gay Christians is, generally speaking, only Pentecostal straight Christian, heterosexual Christian, seem to have that power. Or if it's a gay Christian that is operating in this, it's secret. There's been some pretty powerful healing ministries that the person was gay, and international healing ministry on TV all the time, and people healed like crazy, but he never was open about his gayness. That's going to change. We're going to see now, because you Pentecostal gays, you're going to start rising up. You probably already feel it, because I'm not now talking about this on TV simply because that this is a wish or a want or a desire. Hey, a wish and a want and a desire has been gone on for 31 years for me. But now, something else is happening. There's a movement of God. There's a revelation coming, saying, it's now gay Pentecostals' turn. All the other kind of Christian gays had their turn, and they laid the groundwork, the foundation, the groundwork. While the gay Pentecostals kind of sit back, kind of afraid, you know, because, you know, when you're filled with the Spirit and baptized with the Holy Spirit, you got an extra problem. Because all of a sudden now you're dealing with, here, what do you do about these heterosexual Pentecostals, you know? They're so vehemently against gays. But you know, when you listen, they don't prophesy against gays. And some of them almost seem to be doing that. But you know, you got to discern, what spirit is it? We got lots of spirits to you. We got our own spirit. We got the Holy Spirit. Jesus will talk to you. God will talk to you. And then you got a lot of demons out there and Satan and everything. We can hear a lot of stuff. Doesn't mean you're possessed or anything, but we can hear a lot of stuff. You say, oh, I can discern God. We got the gift of discernment. So you say, well, I'm discerning here. Oh, it's God. Hey, we can go into a Buddhist temple. Go right into a Buddhist temple. And they're all meeting down there, and they're all bound down there, and maybe in respect or something, because you're saying you know that this is all, if anything, they're worshiping Satan and all that and whatever. And so you look for respect for whatever reason, or for you to be a instrument of God to bring light in there or something like that. You can go in there, and you know what you feel? You feel the presence of the Lord. Powerful. You got a job, and one of the jobs is taking a group of people down to a racetrack. You know those dragsters that you drive down there, and what happens? There they go taking off. You know, I never was at one of these drag racers in my life. At one time, you know, my job got me there. And there I'm listening. These dragsters wheeling down the track there. Oh, I never heard something so loud in all my life. It just forced tears out of my eyes. It filled this choking up. This is like, you know, God is just pouring out onto me right now. And it's not. It is that this all-massive power out there is able to jump down onto your spirit. Which, if God does it, you know, you feel God, present of God. But you have all these other entities. That's why they work. You know, that's why astrology works. That's why Ouija boards work. That's why other religions work. Because people feel God. Because God is being pushed inside their God button. And God can actually push that button too, because that's what he put it there for. So you can know he's there. So you need to discern the spirits. And gay Pentecostals probably had figured that they're scared that these heterosexual Pentecostals got God on them. They just don't want to make any waves. Pentecostal gays, it's your day. God has trained you. God has made you ready. Rise up in your Pentecostal power and preach the gospel. Lay hands. Stand forth. Do the call that God's called you. In the name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now, read the Bible. Keep in mind that every single version that's a modern translation, or modern version in modern English, is a Satan counterfeit, with 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. Study what's gotten Hort to learn about this. Read only the King James Version. If you read the others, make sure that you have some sort of legitimate concordance to go with you, and do not use a modern concordance to learn about modern languages, because modern dictionaries, as it were, are based on modern things too. You got to get into the original Word of God. King James is the best we got. From there, you study the received text in the original language in every different kind of way you can. Satan is a counterfeiter. He's going to counterfeit every single thing Jesus. One of the things that's Jesus is the Bible. Of course he's going to counterfeit it. God needs only one Bible to really make a truth, King James. Satan just wants to just saturate you, give everybody a version that they love. And so we have lots and lots of counterfeit Bibles. Well, it looks like I'm out of time now. Tune in again next week, and I'm going to be a new schedule coming up, Mondays at 7 p.m. If you want to meet, email me and get on my list for upcoming meetings. Thanks. Bye-bye.